Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. یہ ہمارے حضرت والا کا کلام ہے، حضرت مولانا شاہ کی محمد اختر صاحب رحمت اللہ علیہ ادام اللہ فیوزہم علینا، اور حضرت کا کلام ہمیشہ یہ عارفانہ عاشقانہ کلام، اور اس کلام کا عنوان ہے گر خدا چاہے تو پہلے عاشق ابرار ہو، گر خدا چاہے تو پہلے عاشق ابرار ہو۔ عشق اے دوست تو ہم سب کا یہ معیار ہو، عشق اے دوست تو ہم سب کا یہ معیار ہو، متبع سنت ہو اور بدعت سے بھی بیزار ہو، متبع سنت ہو اور بدعت سے بھی بیزار ہو، اتباع سنت نبوی سے دل سرشار ہو، اتباع سنت نبوی سے دل سرشار ہو، نور تقویٰ سے سراپا حامل انوار ہو، نور تقویٰ سے سراپا حامل انوار ہو، اتباع سنت نبوی سے دل سرشار ہو، اتباع سنت نبوی سے دل سرشار ہو، نور تقویٰ سے سراپا حامل انوار ہو، نور تقویٰ سے سراپا حامل انوار ہو۔ عاشق کامل کی بس ہے یہ علامت کاملہ، عاشق کامل کی بس ہے یہ علامت کاملہ، جا فدا کرنے کو ہر دم، جا فدا کرنے کو ہر دم سر بکف تیار ہو، جا فدا کرنے کو ہر دم سر بکف تیار ہو۔ عاشق کامل کی بس ہے یہ علامت کاملہ، عاشق کامل کی بس ہے یہ علامت کاملہ، جا فدا کرنے کو ہر دم سر بکف تیار ہو، جا فدا کرنے کو ہر دم سر بکف تیار ہو۔ عشق اے دوست تو ہم سب کا یہ معیار ہو، متبع سنت ہو اور بدعت سے بھی بیزار ہو۔ عشق سنت کی علامت، عشق سنت کی علامت ہر نفس سے ہو آیا، عشق سنت کی علامت ہر نفس سے ہو آیا، خواہ رفتار ہو گفتار ہو کردار ہو، خواہ رفتار ہو گفتار ہو کردار ہو۔ عشق سنت کی علامت ہر نفس سے ہو آیا، عشق سنت کی علامت ہر نفس سے ہو آیا، خواہ رفتار ہو گفتار ہو کردار ہو، خواہ رفتار ہو گفتار ہو کردار ہو۔ صحبت مرشد سے نسبت تو عطا ہوگی مگر، صحبت مرشد سے نسبت تو عطا ہوگی مگر، اجتناب معصیت ہو، اجتناب معصیت ہو ذکر کی تکرار ہو، اجتناب معصیت ہو ذکر کی تکرار ہو۔ صحبت مرشد سے نسبت تو عطا ہوگی مگر، صحبت مرشد سے نسبت تو عطا ہوگی مگر، اجتناب معصیت ہو ذکر کی تکرار ہو، اجتناب معصیت ہو ذکر کی تکرار ہو۔ عشق کامل کی علامت یہ سنا کرتا ہوں میں، عشق کامل کی علامت یہ سنا کرتا ہوں میں، آشنائے یار ہو بیگانہ اغیار ہو، آشنائے یار ہو بیگانہ اغیار ہو۔ عشق کامل کی علامت یہ سنا کرتا ہوں میں، عشق کامل کی علامت یہ سنا کرتا ہوں میں، آشنائی یار ہو بیگانائی اغیار ہو، آشنائی یار ہو بیگانائی اغیار ہو، یہ یہی مرضی خدا کی ہم مٹا دے نفس کو، ہے یہی مرضی خدا کی ہم مٹا دے نفس کو، گرچہ وہ سارے جہاں کا بھی کوئی سردار ہو، گرچہ وہ سارے جہاں کا بھی کوئی سردار ہو، ہے یہی مرضی خدا کی ہم مٹا دے نفس کو، ہے یہی مرضی خدا کی ہم مٹا دے نفس کو، گرچہ وہ سارے جہاں کا بھی کوئی سردار ہو، گرچہ وہ سارے جہاں کا بھی کوئی سردار ہو، اس کی صحبت سے نہیں کچھ فائدہ ہوگا کبھی، اس کی صحبت سے نہیں کچھ فائدہ ہوگا کبھی، بے عمل کو ہی محبت کا علم بردار ہو، بے عمل کو ہی محبت کا علم بردار ہو، اس کی صحبت سے نہیں کچھ فائدہ ہوگا کبھی، اس کی صحبت سے نہیں کچھ فائدہ ہوگا کبھی، بے عمل کو ہی محبت، بے عمل کو ہی محبت کا علم بردار ہو، بے عمل کو ہی محبت کا علم بردار ہو، جب کسی بندہ پہ ہوتا ہے خدا کا فضل خاص، جب کسی بندہ پہ ہوتا ہے خدا کا فضل خاص، دم میں وہ ذنور ہوگا گھرچے وہ زنار ہو، دم میں وہ ذنور ہوگا گھرچے وہ زنار ہو، جب کسی بندہ پہ ہوتا ہے خدا کا فضل خاص، جب کسی بندہ پہ ہوتا ہے خدا کا فضل خاص، دم میں وہ ذنور ہوگا گھرچے وہ زنار ہو، دم میں وہ ذنور ہوگا گھرچے وہ زنار ہو، عمر بھر کا تجربہ، عمر بھر کا تجربہ اختر کا ہے یہ دوستو، عمر بھر کا تجربہ اختر کا ہے یہ دوستو، گھر خدا چاہیے تو پہلے عاشق ابرار ہو، گھر خدا چاہیے تو پہلے عاشق ابرار ہو، عمر بھر کا تجربہ اختر کہے یہ دوستو، عمر بھر کا تجربہ اختر کہے یہ دوستو، گھر خدا چاہیے تو پہلے، گھر خدا چاہیے تو پہلے عاشق ابرار ہو۔
الحمدللہ، الحمدللہ وکفا وسلام علی عباد الذین اصطفى، اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، قد افلح من تزکى وذکر اسم ربه فصلى، وقال النبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم من کان یؤمن باللہ والیوم الاخر فلیکرم ضیفہ، صدق اللہ العظیم وصدق رسوله النبی الکریم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدین والشاکرین، والحمد للہ رب العالمین۔ ریسپیکٹڈ علماء کرام، اور آنرز حضرت مولانا عبدالحمید صاحب دامت برکاتہ، اینڈ حضرت خلفاء، آل دا برادرز آر پریزنٹ ہیئر ٹوڈے، الحمد للہ۔ دس از ایکچولی دا فضل اینڈ گریس آف اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ، دا اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ ہیز گیدرڈ ہیئر آن دا نسبت آف اصلاح، دا نسبت آف تزکیہ، اینڈ دا نسبت آف تصوف۔ This is in reality the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the barakat of our Shaykh rahimahullah, whose ashar we have just heard now. Every single share of Hazrat is full of tasawuf, full of tazkiyah and full of islah. Alhamdulillah, the figure of Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sahib and his efforts, let the account of success bring about an inqilab inshallah, as you can already see. There is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, tazkiyah is something which you ought to understand in the light of the light of the life of our pious predecessors and the mashayikh and ulama of the past. Unfortunately, to a great extent, sometimes we find this tazkiyah and tasawuf is misunderstood and has a very confined and restricted meaning. People feel that you just make a little bit of zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you sit in a khanqah, you spend a few days in a khanqah, And that is the beginning and ending of tasawwuf. This is not a fact, because tasawwuf in reality is the root and soul of all actions, and it engulfs the entire life of a Muslim. It entails the entire life of a Muslim. Every single action of a Muslim, when his tazkiyah is made, when he is in the field of islah and tazkiyatul nafs, then you will find that tazkiyah will be reflecting in every action of his life. Whether it is his business, whether it is his personal life at home, whether it is his ibadat, whether it is his social life, tazkiyah is such a thing that when it permeates the heart, then all the actions that come out from that person whose tazkiyah is made, tasawuf, has gone through tasawuf, you will find that this tazkiyah will be depicting in every action of his life. One hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that al-anatu min Allahi wal-ajalatu min ash-shaytan, that to be composed in steadiness is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are actions, some actions in the Sharia, we are told, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ, hasten towards those actions, do good, and hasten and race towards those actions. سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. In various other verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, instruct us to do things, and race towards good things, race towards the maghfirat of Allah, and race toward to get the honor, to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then, together with that, we find in the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, "Wal ajalatu min ash-shaytan," to hasten and to be hasty, not to plan, not to look at the consequences of matters and things. This is from shaitan. Other words, there are matters in the Sharia that before taking decisions, we should be very composed, we should be very steady, we should be very careful and considerate before we take decisions. We should weigh the pros and cons, and we should also go through the process of mashwara, sometimes istikhara, before we take a decision. And if we do not do so, sometimes when a person takes a decision, is very hasty in taking the decision, then we find there is deep regret, and the person is a great loss. Now this doesn't pertain to all aspects of our life. There are some aspects that we have to be very hasty, we have to be very fast and quick in carrying those out. And these pertain to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was mentioned just now, that the true sign of an ashik is that he is a lover and a follower of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not only pertain to the salat or zakat or ibadat or our dressing outwardly, no. It pertains to every single action that was shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our mundane activities, to follow him in our jazbat, in the feelings of the heart, to follow him in the sunnats of the ibadat. All this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Concerning this hadith, Hatim Asam, you must have heard his name, a very great Sufi, a murid of Shaykh Balkhi rahmatullah alayhi, he stayed in his sohbat for 33 years for his islah. And Shaykh Balkhi rahmatullah alayhi, Shaykh Shaykh Balkhi rahmatullah alayhi asked him, how long have you stayed in my company? He said, 33 years. What did you learn, O Hatim? He says, I have learned only 8 things. Only 8 things I have learned while I stayed. In fact, it's mentioned that Shaykh Balkhi rahmatullah alayhi said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. 33 long years and you only learned 8 things. And thereafter he asked him to say those 8 things. We're not going into those 8 things. It was just an introduction to Hatim Asam rahmatullah alayhi. He's known as the Luqman of this ummah. Luqman wa hadhi ummah. He had passed away in the year 237. And he was a great Sufi. He mentions that al-ajalatu min ash-shaytan, that this hastening is from shaytan, illa fi khamsatin, except in 5 things. فَإِنَّهَا مِن سُنَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. These 5 things, to hasten is from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After considering for a long time what to speak about, when I looked at these 5 things, they seem so pertinent to our society, our area, and our context, that if we just adjust our lives and bring it upon the sunnah in these 5 aspects, inshallah, there seems to be there'll be a great revolution in our country, not only in our town, in our families and communities, but in our entire country. The first thing he mentions about these 5 things, these things that we should hasten about, he says, it'amu ta'am, feeding people. When it comes to feeding, we should be very hastily. Now let's just step back for a moment. Let us look at the status of a guest that comes. A guest that comes to us, in one riwayat is mentioned, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes some good for a person, he sends him a gift. He sends him a gift and sends him a present. And what is that gift? It is a visitor. Visitor is a gift from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sent to us from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The light of another hadith, we understand that when a visitor comes, then he comes with his own rosy, he comes with his own risk. And when he leaves, it becomes a means of our forgiveness. This is what the great ni'mat of a visitor is. When he comes to us, he comes with his own rosy. He's eating his rosy on our dastarkhan. And when he leaves with our sins, becomes a means of our forgiveness. Yet in another riwayat we understand that there is no good in that person who is not good towards his visitor. Doesn't show goodness and kindness towards his guest and visitor, there is no good in that person. In another riwayat we understand, when a person spends on his visitor, there is no accountability in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what he had spent. And what he spends with him, he gets the reward of sadaqah. This is the value of the visitor. That is why if you look in our pious predecessors, visitors that used to come, they used to make the ikram to such an extent that is mentioned that they used to go and press their feet. One of our qadis of Dioban, one visitor had come who was not a Muslim. But the ikram of a visitor was such, it's not subject to being him a mu'min or not being a mu'min. Obviously a person is a Muslim, is your ustad, is an alim, there's greater ikram. But the fact that this person is my visitor, is mentioned that those great elder of Dioban had got up to go and press his feet at night. And when the person who was accompanying his visitor stopped him, he told him, this is my visitor. And he has a right over me, I have a right of making his khidmat. This used to be the value of a visitor. And Rasulullah s.a.w. tells us, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, fal yukrim dayfahu. Rasulullah s.a.w.'s words are very small and concise, but they are very, very wide meaning it has. That the person who believes in Allah in the last day, let him honor his guest. And what is honoring the guest? Making the guest as comfortable as ever. And one of the honoring of the guest is to feed him promptly. Now you find different types of visitors. You will find one visitor that will tap your door in that period of time that you least expect him. Even that person is your visitor. You ought to feed him, make him comfortable when he comes to your house. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you make ikram of your guest. And one is that guest that you invite. He's sitting in the peace of his home, peacefully, sitting in the comfort of his home peacefully, and you invite him. And you send him sometime a big card. You are cordially invited to my walima, my daughter's walima, or my son's walima, and at a certain time, at a certain place, that person leaves the comfort of his home, then he comes to you, and he responds. Because it's the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to respond. وَيُجِيبُهُ إِذَا دَعَى. Also a right of a mu'min. He responds and comes. And what happens? This is where we should pay tawajjuh and attention, especially in our area. I don't know here what happens in PE. The person comes, he leaves his home, and he comes there for the walima after lunch. He reads his Zuhar Salat and he enters the place where he's supposed to be being fed, and he's sitting there, and there starts a jalsa. Qari Sahib is called to the fore and he reads the Qirat. Thereafter some alim is called and he gives a bayan. Then there's some nazam that takes place and some people are called to give the vote of thanks, etc. Now 1 hour is gone, 1.5 hour is gone, 2 hours are gone sometime, and the people are seated in such a manner that half of them are facing the respected Mawlana Sahib, and the Quran is being recited, the backs are facing towards the person. They are hungry, they have come to eat. They are invited not for a jalsa, they are invited for the meal. And they have come hungry to eat the meal. There's some things left there on the table in the form of salads, etc. And we find somebody is looking at his watch, somebody is looking at the salad, somebody is looking around and waiting when Mawlana Sahib will finish his bayan. And this is the ikram that we show to all guests. It has become virtually like a joke. And good people, mashallah, that got ta'alluq with deen, got ta'alluq with ulama ikram, the apartment in the masjid, do not realize that this is not the ikram that Rasulullah s.a.w. teaches us. Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, fal yukrim dayfahu. Ask that dayf, ask that visitor of yours, and ask that guest of yours. In fact, once in Johannesburg, when I spoke about this, somebody told me, this is the condition here. In Durban, somebody told me, Moana, from here right up to Cape Town, this is the condition. One of my neighbors told me, I sat 3 hours in one hall, waiting for a place of food. This is the ikram that we show to that person to whom Rasulullah s.a.w. says, fal yukrim dayfahu. And not ordinary people, people that are educated, people that are, mashallah, who go out in the path of Allah, people that got ta'alluq with the mashayikh, etc. This has just become like a norm, just become like a fashion, and everybody just carries it out. If my function will not have a bayan, will not have a waaz, will not have a nasihat, my fountain is empty, not realizing that 500 people are being troubled, 400 people have been troubled. Amongst them there are Salaha, pious people, Ulama-i Kiram, elderly people that are sitting there. And just because you want to boost your ego, you want to make a name for yourself, etc., or you want your image to be high, that you are having all this. Otherwise in reality, in fact I phoned certain persons of the family to ask how was the walima. The sentence that was spoken were, Alhamdulillah, there was no bayan. Alhamdulillah, no, mashallah, there was no bayan. Can you imagine? To make bayan is great virtue, but not on those people. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to see the mawqa in the mahal, the opportunity, the time and place before he should give us waaz and nasihat. And he used to make waaz and nasihat. They told him, we wish that you should make us nasihat every day. He says, no, I will not do so, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to look at the time and place. Karahiyata samata alayna. So that we don't become bored. So that we not, doesn't become a burden upon us all the time making waaz and nasihat. Here the person is called to, for his meals, and he's sitting there. It's a very nice, sweet occasion, the wedding occasion of my son or my daughter, and that man lives on with bitter memories, years, years after the occasion is over. So here Hatim bin Asam rahimullah tells us that the it'amu ta'am is from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you should hasten to feed your guests. In the time of our elders, we never experienced this. 20 years or 30 years ago, somebody is invited for the walima, and he has to sit 1 hour for that walima. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm not talking about all those things that are impermissible, the photography, etc., that takes place thereafter. I'm just talking about that function that we feel would be proper. But this we find that jalsas take place, and what happens, that person will come there innocently, we are giving him taklif. And we're not even realizing this. We're not realizing that we're giving him taklif, the person that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to make ikram of. So this is one area that he cautions us, and one area that we should rectify, and rectify it with our families also, and tell them, if it's an occasion of walima, let's have a walima. Let's not have an occasion of bayan, and qiraat, and naat, etc. People have gone towards such extremes that even I'm told some places, the bride is called to give advice to the people that have come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. This may be the custom of the kuffar, but not of the mu'mineen, not close to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another thing he mentions is tajheezul mayyit. Enshrouding and getting ready for the person that passed away, getting him ready for burial. Here again we find a whole lot of customs come, and people are waiting for one person to come from the corner of South Africa to come for the janazah of this person. The janazah has been delayed, and people have to sit around. Hundreds of people are around, they're waiting for the janazah to take place. No, we are just waiting for the brother, or just waiting for his sister to come from Johannesburg or to come from Cape Town. Reminds me of one of our friends that passed away from Cape Town. Allah Ta'ala raise his status, is a very pious person. He had passed away in the South Coast, and his father had to drive down, and his father could not make it. His father phoned from the way and said, please do not delay the janazah, keep the janazah. Imagine, the father or his own son, he knew the sunnah is to have the janazah as quickly as possible. Asri'u bil janazati. Huzur Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us and explains us, hasten with the janazah. Why? If it is a good person, فَخَيْرٌ تُقَدِّمُونَهُ إِلَيْهِ. If it is a good person, you are taking him to a very nice place. And if it is the evil person, فَشَرٌ تَدَعُونَهُ عَنْ رِقَابِكُمْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. If it is the evil person, then you are taking him off your shoulders and taking him off your neck and taking him away from you. So there is no reason absolutely for you to delay the janazah. Some riwayats mention that when a person is being taken in a janazah and is a pious person, he himself says, قَدِّمُونِي قَدِّمُونِي. Take me forth. Why? What is waiting for him, inshallah? Paradise, Jannat, and all the names of the akhirah are waiting for him. No, but unfortunately, a person leaves that person, delays the janazah, and we find hours going by, people are in taklif, in difficulty, and hardship, people have come from far, and the janazah is not taking place just because of one single person. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made our life so easy, that from wherever we are, whatever time it is, whatever ibadat we wish to convey, we just make the niyat and isale sawab, inshallah ta'ala sends the sawab to that person. We are sitting here, somebody passes away in America, inshallah we make some dua for him here, we need some isale sawab, make something for isale sawab for him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us, that we have an open channel with our deceased. But when it comes to think of them, we find few people only remembering them daily or on a weekly basis. And when it comes to janazah, that one single person is waited for is coming from hundreds of miles to attend the janazah. This is not the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were janazas that had taken place in the midst of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not called for the janazah. Some janazah had taken place at night, and the people did not want to inconvenience Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Halaki Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that personality. He was the wali, and that is why he used to go and perform janazah of those people that didn't perform even in the qabr side. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "I have been instructed to make janazah, to read the salat, فَإِنَّ salati سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ يُنَوِّرُ اللَّهُ قُبُورَهُمْ بِالصَّلَاتِ أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, that my salat is said, become a means of peace and tranquility for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill their qabr with nur. Yet the companions of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to hasten with the burial when the time of burial comes. So this is another sunnah that we should remember in our lives. When somebody passes away, it's time for him to leave the dunya, has left the dunya, we should take him with utmost amount of respect, and as quick as possible, take him to his qabr. As far as dua is concerned, we can make dua for the rest of our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. The third thing, Hazrat Imam Hatim rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, is tajweezul bikr, to get the unmarried girl married. Here again we find that this is something that's delayed so much in our society. Hundreds and thousands of rands are spent on flimsy excuses. The grandfather is not here, the big brother is not married, the proposal is made, etc. But we find there's undue delay. And with the result, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid so many haram taking place. Especially in these days, we find people are talking to each other over the phones, etc. And sometimes going out. And this is even sanctioned by the parents, ma'azallah. The mangni is made, they can go far away from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, if a proposal comes to you, إِذَا خَتَبَ إِلَيْكُمْ مَنْ تَبَّوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ. If the person's deen, his deen disposition, and his akhlaq is good and pleasing to you, then marry your daughters, marry your children to them. If you do not do them, تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيدٌ أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, there'll be corruption and mischief on the earth that we see today. When the match is found and the nikah takes place, there's no delay, there's no waiting. I was trying to look for some riwayat in the nikah of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha. I could not find the exact period of time, but it seemed there was hardly any delay after Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu had proposed. There was some preparation that Ali had to go and make in some riwayat. He had to go and see what wealth he has, or go and sell his shield, etc. Thereafter the nikah was performed. There was no date sets where thousands of people were called, etc. No. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like Hazrat mentioned now, inna azaman nikah baraka aysarhu ma'una. The nikah that has the greatest amount of barakat is the one that has the least amount of expenditure, the least amount of inconvenience. And that is the nikah that is done as quick as possible. So here is Fatima radiallahu anha, the beloved daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also is married very, very quickly. And if you look in the lives of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the famous incident of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu going to propose on behalf of Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu, where he goes with the proposal and money of Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu, and they reject. And they accept the proposal for Abu Darda radiallahu anhu himself. And there and then, they perform the nikah. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, he is married and comes to the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees the itar on him and asks him, "O Abu Abdurrahman, what is this?" He says, "O Prophet of Allah, I have conducted a nikah." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also not invited in that nikah. Nikah is a necessity. Nikah is not an occasion where we show our wealth, where we show our position, where we show our prominence in society. Nikah is a necessity, and like all the other necessities that are fulfilled, most simply, that necessity should be fulfilled. So here also, tajweezul bikr, to get our daughters married as quick as possible, is close to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to delay, like how it is done in our societies, is just accepted. Proposal comes, very rarely you find that girl is given in nikah. Yet the girl is already of a marriageable age. The husband is also, the person who proposes is also of a marriageable age. The people are ready, they have the means, etc. No, we find some formalities come in between. And sometimes for years, we find that nikah is delayed. And in the meanwhile, what happens? Everything that's supposed to happen after nikah, Allah forbid, begins to happen before nikah. When the time of nikah comes, then there's no barakat. And this has become so common. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Nikah takes place and after 2 months there's a divorce. Nikah takes place and after 3 months there's a divorce. One nikah had taken place and one mufti told me the divorce was on the same day of the nikah. Can we imagine? The divorce was on the same day of the nikah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Why? We are strayed away from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should mean everything. Islam teaches us also how to conduct our marriages. Similarly, our funeral should be conducted. All Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's deen is complete. And when tasfiyah comes into a person, and when we find tasawuf is in a person, then he's looking for the occasions of islah. Diyan and dun comes to mind. As Imam Thami rahmatullah mentioned, there's two words. One is diyan and one is dun. Diyan is to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. And dun is to have that concern and to have that obsession of my islah. Every action a person is looking for is islah. How my islah can be done? How my actions can conform to the sharia? How my actions can become conform to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and all of us the spirit. This is what is required. That our entire lives, there's evolution in our entire lives, and entire lives is filled with tazkiyah, it's filled with tasawwuf, filled with taqwa, filled with piety, filled with the sunnah, filled with the sharia, at all times, at all occasions. There's not a moment in the life of a mu'min that he can be free from the sharia, or can be free from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why we should not be selective when it comes to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should enter fully into the deen of Allah ta'ala, whether it's our business, whether it's our social life, whether it's our personal life, whether it's our akhlaq, whether it's our mu'amalat with our servants and servants and people working. The sharia, the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should reign supreme in the way shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here Hazrat Hatim rahimahullah draws our attention to this fact that when it comes to marrying our daughters, then we should do so very quickly. This is the sunnah. He is saying, وَالْعَجَلَةُ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ إِلَّا فِي خَمْسَةٍ. To hasten is from shaitan, but in five things, it is the sunnah to hasten. And the fourth thing he mentions is وَقَضَاءُ الدَّيْنِ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. قَضَاءُ الدَّيْنِ, when it comes to paying our debts, paying our dues and debts to people, then here also we should hasten. And here these are not mere words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On one side we find the status of a debt in Islam is such, it's a very serious thing. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ma'thami wal-maghram. Some places, wa'udhu bika min ghalabati al-dayn, wa'qahdi al-rijal. Huzuri Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam seeks refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from death, from sin and from death. One occasion somebody asked, O Prophet of Allah, you seek refuge from death, what is the reason? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when a person falls into death, then what happens? Then, wa'ada fa akhlafa. He makes promises and he breaks his promises. And haddasa fa kadhib. Haddasa fa kadhiba. He speaks and then he lies. Let us ask the merchants around us. This is an everyday practice, ma'azallah. Allah save us and forgive us. In our society, we find an everyday practice. Promises are made to make payments and promises are broken. People begin to promise and people begin to say, this and this will happen, certain thing happen, and when you look at the surface, you look at the bottom, it's all lies. Somebody was just telling me, one person told that person, your way is not selling. The goods I bought from you by is not selling. This person became very worried, because he was a pious person. He used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for himself, but even for his merchants. Oh Allah, this merchandise of mine, make it a means of barakat, even for my people, my customers. He became very worried. He went to somewhere in the Transvaal, and when he got to the shop, he found that all his way was sold long time ago. It was pure lies. This person did not want to pay him. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, this is the effect of falling into debt, that a person breaks his promises and he lies. It's mentioned, we all know the maqam of shahadat. يُغْفَرُ لِلشَّهِيدِ كُلَّ ذَنْبٍ إِلَّا الدَّيْنِ. All the sins are forgiven of a shaheed who gives his life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except debts. It is so important and so significant for us to ensure that we pay our debts. And one person comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and tells him, O Prophet of Allah, أَرَأَيْتَ إِن قُتِلْتُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ صَابِرًا مُحْتَسِبًا مُقْبِلًا غَيْرَ مُدْبِرٍ أَيُكَفِّرُ اللَّهُ عَنِّي خَطَايَايَ. O Prophet of Allah, tell me, if I am martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, صَابِرًا, and I am patiently, I am steadfast and perseverant in the path of Allah, and صَابِرًا مُحْتَسِبًا, I am there, my niyat also is pure for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm only doing it for the sake of sawab. Muqbilan and advancing. غَيْرُ مُدْبِرٍ. I am not returning and turning away from jihad. In that state I made shaheed. Will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive my sins? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, na'am. فَلَمَّا أَدْبَرَ الرَّجُلُ فَقَالْ na'am illa الدَّيْن. كَذَلِكَ قَالَ جِبْرَيْلِ. Or كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم. When he turned and went away, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him back and told him, all your sins are forgiven, except the debts that you had. That is not forgiven. This is what Jibreel salatu wasalam has just informed me. So we understand how significant and how important it is. Today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, and Allah forbid, we find people saying, that person with the beard, that person with the kurta, I don't want to deal with him. Even non-Muslims are saying this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. This is not the way of Islam, not the way of the mu'mineen, not the way of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One riwayat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that nafsul mu'min mu'allaqatun bidaynihi hatta yuqda anhu. Or kama qala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the soul of a mu'min is suspended with his deen and with his debts and with his dues that is owing people till it is not paid on his behalf. This is how serious it is even after a person leaves this dunya. And if you wish to look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beauty of our deen is this. We have on one side the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the other side we have the practices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fully conforming to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not only propagate that we should pay our debt quickly, but the personal life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One occasion one person comes, a Bedouin comes, a villager comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the companions are with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He comes to demand a debt from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he treats Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam most harshly, and he tells him that I will harass you till you do not completely pay me. The companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam admonish this person, how is this person speaking to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like this? And they tell him, shame upon you, do you know who you are addressing? This person says, I am only asking for my right. What is the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reprimands his companions, why aren't you supporting that person that has a right? Why aren't you supporting and are defending that person who has a right? Otherwise, you're supposed to defend this person who has a right over me. You have no right to reprimand him. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Hazrat Khola binti Qais radiallahu anha, the wife of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asked her for some dates. Have you got some dates and some kajur? I can take it from you, borrow it from you, and thereafter I'll pay you when the kajur comes. She says, certainly may my parents be sacrificed upon you, O Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes this kajur and he pays this Bedouin and he gives him extra, he gives him more than what is due to him. This person becomes so happy, he says, you have paid me in full, may Allah pay you in full. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that these are the best of people who support those people that have claims. Who support those people that have claims, and there is no blessing, there is no good in that nation. There is no good in that nation whose weak person cannot come and claim his right without any hesitation. There is no good in that person. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pays. Here on this occasion Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has nothing to pay this man. He's a person from the village, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam borrows and pays him and gives him even more. And that person's tune, so to say, is changed. First he said, I will harass you. Here he says, may Allah pay you in full. You have paid me in full, may Allah pay you in full. So this was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and came to dealing. On another occasion he mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seated. One person from the Bani Sa'idah comes and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam owed him one wasat, one sa', about 25 kgs of kajur. And he comes and demands and asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says one Ansari sahabi radiallahu anhu to pay him his dues. This person pays him, but he pays him with kajur that is inferior. That person is not satisfied and he refuses to accept. He refuses to accept. That Ansari tells him, are you refusing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He says, yes. Who is more worthy of exercising justice than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This is of inferior quality. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, swells, tears well up in his Mubarak eyes, and he says, yes, he is true, he is right. Who can be more deserving, and who can be more worthy of exercising justice than myself? And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says us, that may Allah not bless that nation. May Allah not bless that nation whose weak person cannot claim his rights from a strong person and he cannot demand it. If he cannot claim and cannot demand it, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not bless that nation. The baddua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he calls Hazrat Khola radiallahu ta'ala anha and tells her to pay him his dues. And thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells her, count and pay him fully. Count and pay him fully, because it's mentioned that that person, that creditor that is happy and satisfied with his debtor when he leaves, then what does he get? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, for all to know what he gets. That person, that creditor who is satisfied with his debtor after he leaves him, then for him, all the creatures in the earth and all the fish in the oceans make dua for him. This is the muamlat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the repayment of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All, and if he doesn't pay, however, if the debtor doesn't pay, despite being able to pay, then what happens? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes in his record, in his deeds, in the book of records, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes, so every day and every night that passes, a sin for not paying. He's sinful for not paying. So here we find the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. He teaches us to pay the deen, and the sunnah is to pay the deen. How many of us are punctual on this sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We carry out all the other ibadats. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, another hadith tells us, matlul ghani zulmun, or kama qala nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the procrastination and unnecessary delaying of a person who's rich is zulm and is oppression. Sometimes a person carries out his salat, carries out his zakat, carries out everything, but he finds he's still in difficulty and hardship. Why? Because he's making zulm on somebody. He's not paying his merchants. That person cannot make ends meet. This person is living in luxury. He's going for umrah after umrah. He's driving a beautiful car. Has a beautiful home, palatial home. He's very eating good food, etc. That poor person, that merchant cannot meet his debts, cannot meet his dues, cannot light the fire, so to say, at home. Why? Because this person is not paying him. What happens? Obviously, that hurt, that the injury that is caused in that person's heart, that in itself is a baddua. اتقي دعوة المصدوم فإنه ليس بينه وبين الله حجاب أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Save yourself from the baddua of the mazloom. This person is mazloom. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, you delay and you delay is zulm and oppression on this person. And yet you want to know why I'm not enjoying a good life. I'm carrying out all my ibadat. You are carrying out all your ibadat, but you are making zulm. You are making zulm on that person. And when that person's heart aches, that is a baddua against you. And remember, the dua of a person that's mazloom, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that there's no veil between him and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With all your luxuries and all your outer things of comfort, you still don't enjoy that peace of mind and contentment of the heart. So these are realities that we should wake up to. Alhamdulillah, there's a lot of uloom, there's a lot of ulama-i kiram, there's a lot of madaris, we should go to them and assess ourselves. We assess everything, our business and everything else. We go to them and tell them, this is how I conduct my business. Kindly rectify my business. Tell me what is happening. And this is not restricted only to mu'mineen and believers. Abdullah ibn Abi Hadra radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that one Jewish person, I owed him just 4 dirhams. 4 dirhams in today's context, maybe maximum 100 rand. That worked it out the other day, 22 rand, some odd, was 1 dirham. About 100 rand I owe this person. This person comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and tells him, oh Muhammad, Abdullah ibn Abi Hadra owes me money. And every time I ask him, he overpowers me. He does not pay me. Imagine here is a Jewish person asking Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam against his Sahaba that he is owing me money and not paying me. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? It is the right of a person. It is the right of a person and akhlaq of a mu'min that it does not cause inconvenience even to a non-Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells Abdullah ibn Abi Hadra radiallahu anhu, pay him his dues. Abdullah ibn Abi Hadra radiallahu anhu takes an oath and he says, by him who has sent you with the truth, I am unable to pay him, O Prophet of Allah. Imagine taking qasam before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to express his plight. I'm in such a position, I do not have the wealth to pay him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tracks him again, pay him his dues. He takes another oath by him whose life is in his control, by him in whose his control is my life. I do not have the money to pay him, and I have told him that you will be sending us to Khaybar soon, and I anticipate getting some spoils of war, and I will pay him. Otherwise, expressing himself that I don't want to, not that I don't want to pay him, I don't have anything to pay him. And I have given him some hope. I have given him some hope that if you send us to Khaybar, we get the spoils of war, we will pay him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not accept that. Tells him, pay him his dues. For the third time, isn't there, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says something 3 times, then what it means, that this is final. And that person, that Abdullah ibn Abi Hadra radiallahu anhu, what is he wearing? He just has a turban on his head, and he has a shawl that he's using as his waistcloth. He only has these 2 pieces of clothing on his body. It's mentioned that he takes off the turban and uses it as a waistcloth and takes off the shawl and goes to the market and meets this person and he gives this person, he sells this Jewish person that shawl for 4 dirhams. In other words, he's prepared to give away one of his cloth, but pay that person, even if he's a Jewish person, pay him his dues. Let us look around us. Sometimes a person has the amount of luxury he has. Any person can see this person has wealth. But you dare ask him for your money. You ask him for your money, then he gets angry. He loses his temper. Am I running away from the country? What is wrong with you? And if he turns around and says, do what you want to, ma'azallah, Allah save us. Do what you want to. Go to the courts and see what you can do to me. The poor person cannot even ask. He cannot even ask for what is due to him. Here Rasulullah asks him, reprimanding his own Sahaba, why don't you defend that person that has a right? Why don't you defend him? Inna lisaib al-haqq maqal. Another occasion, one person comes and is demanding And the people get upset. It says Abu Rafi radiallahu anhu that we owe him a camel, pay it to him. It says, O Prophet of Allah, we do not have that size of camel. It was 3 years old. We have a bigger one, 5 years old. Rasulullah s.a.w. tell him, give it to him. فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ النَّاسِ أَحْسَرُهُمْ قَضَاءً or كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صلى الله عليه وسلم, the best of people are those people that are best when it comes to paying their debts. As Abdullah ibn Abi Rabi'a radiallahu anhu mentions that Rasulullah s.a.w. took as a loan from me 40,000 dirhams. And when he paid me these dirhams, then Rasulullah s.a.w. said, بَارَكَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي أَهْلِكَ وَمَالِكَ بَارَكَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي أَهْلِكَ وَمَالِكَ إِنَّمَا جَزَاءُ السَّلَفِ الْحَمْدُ وَالْأَدَى. That may Allah have blessings on you, give you barakat in your wealth and your family, and the return of payment is what? Alhamdu wal ada, to praise you and to pay you. This is how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pay the people. As Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam owed me something. Qadani wa zadani. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam paid me and gave me even more. This is also sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, provided it is not made conditional, then it will become interest. But a person out of his own accord gave a person more. How many of us carried out this sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? In some riwayat we find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had bought the animal from Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu, had paid him, given him more, and given him back that animal. The intent was to assist Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu, because there was a lot of debts on Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu that his father had left. Which, how many times do you practice this sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So we find when it comes to our business activities also, if there's tasawuf, if there's tazkiyah, then we'll find it dripping out there as well. Person will be concerned to pay his creditors and to see that they are happy. Here when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, we'll get the dua of all the creatures in the earth. How many creatures in the earth? Who knows? Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many fish in the sea? Who knows? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showing us the benefit of our business dealings. That is why when a person conducts his business, we all know of the famous hadith, At-Tajir al-Saduq al-Amin, Ma'an-Nabiyyin wa-Siddiqeen wa-Shuhada. Why? Because this in itself, especially in our age, in our time, in our period, when there's so much indifference, people are not concerned. يَعْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يُبَالِ الْمَرْءُ. Person will not be concerned whether his income is from halal or from haram. These days, to look after those debtors, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. Those people that don't believe in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they have taken this golden principle of Islam. And we find them, they are prompt when it comes to their payment. They are prompt when it comes to their delivery. They are prompt and frank and honest. When we order something from them, they deliver it to us. This is supposed to be the shan of a mu'min. And this is the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not transact, did not buy and sell. No, here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's example show us that despite having nothing, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ensured that it pays the person and pays him even more. So this is another area where Hazrat Hatim rahimullah tells us that here we should be prompt when it comes to payment. And the first thing that he mentions is a tawbatu min adham. To ask for forgiveness, to seek for forgiveness, and to repent before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after a person sins. And this is what is taught to us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَاهِرِينَ. And one of the most easiest things to do, one person mentioned that I looked into the Quran, I found Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes the muttaqeen. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. He likes the muhsinin, He likes the sabirin. I could not find myself reaching up to that standard where I can claim to be muttaqi. Then I found, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَاهِرِينَ. Tawabin also he likes. So I began to make tawbah and istighfar. So here when a person falls into sin, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, daqat bihimul ardu bima rahubat. Our Shaykh always used to mention this, rahimahullah, that the entire earth became narrow upon them when they committed any sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. These majalises, inshallah, that will conscientize us about sin. Conscientize us about the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Conscientize us that we should cleanse ourselves thoroughly with sins and leaning towards sins and all the base qualities. So when it comes to sin, this is something that Muslim fears. Even more than musibat, he fears masiyat. A real Muslim, he first fears more masiyat than musibat. And remember, it is the musibat that becomes the cause of the masiyat that becomes the cause of the musibat. And this was the spirit of our kabir. You look in the life of our kabirs, then they were prepared for any difficulty and hardship, but they were not prepared for a twinkle of a moment of a second to go against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, he tells us that after a person commits a sin, then he should rush towards tawbah, rush towards repentance, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us so nicely, At-ta'ibu min adham kamal la dhambala. How kareem is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person who asks for forgiveness is like a person who did not even commit any sin. Another riwayat that Hazrat used to mention about Mu'atani rahmatullah mentioned that when a person asks for tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all those witnesses, whether they are the limbs of the body, whether they are the in the writings of the angels, whether it is the place, the land where he has committed the sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise the sin from all those places so that no record remains of that sin. And At-Ta'ibu Habibullah, Ta'ibu Habibullah wa Hazrat Rahimullah, with a beautiful bayan, he says, the effect of taqwa, it makes a person very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly is tawbah, it makes a person the habib of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here also he tells us that this is something that we should hasten towards and come towards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. I feel this is very, very pertinent if you look in our society, in the weddings and how the people feed the people. If you look at the time of janazah, the amount of delays that take place. Similarly, if you look when it comes to the weddings of our daughters, how much delay there is, how much expenditure there is. And so simple were the nikahs of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, even in this age and era, there were some nikahs that had taken place, that had gone for mangni, that accepted, and the nikah had taken place. Alhamdulillah, they are nicely married, and they are happily married, to show it's even possible today. Like there is more barakat in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is practiced at all times, and even in our time it can be practiced. So it is for us now to reverse this trend now that has become so, that has become a norm in our society. You go to a place for a meal and they say there's no dua here. I tell them dua buys after eating, not before eating. And there's no formal dua. The person wants to make the dua is after eating here. No, there has to be some sort of presentation before the nikah takes place. So let us come back to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is so simple, which is most comprehensive, which is most beautiful, which is the most closest path, which is the most acceptable path, which is the most beloved path in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us come down to that and see our life, how easy life is. So this is what the soul is all about, that our entire lives are filled up with the sharia and with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and all of us tawfiq to be concerned firstly about our tazkiyah and to make efforts in that direction, and thereafter to implement the entire deen in our lives, to see that tazkiyah engulfs our entire deen. In all facets of our life we find that we are practicing the sunnah and following the sharia. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhud da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.